You're listening to Ideal Practice, episode number 22. Guys, I have got such a treat for you today. I am so excited about this episode. It's not like anything we have covered so far here on the program. Today, we're going to be talking about Akashic Records. I'm about to introduce you to Anne Pizarro, who is an Akashic Records reader located in Austin, Texas. And if you've never heard of this and you have no idea what we're talking about, all I can say is that you are in for an eye-opening conversation. So, stay tuned. Hi, I'm Wendy Pitts Reeves, and with over two decades of experience in the private practice world, I've built my six-figure business while learning a lot of lessons the hard way. This is the first podcast that shows you how to apply the principles of energy, alignment, and strategy to build a practice that is profit-centered, but people-forward. This is the Ideal Practice Podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome. It is my greatest pleasure to introduce you today to a really special guest that I have been so excited about having on the show. I am thrilled to welcome Anne Pizarro to the program. You are going to learn things today that some of you have never heard before. I think it's going to be really, really exciting, and I'm hoping inspiring. This is a topic that I don't know a whole lot about myself. I've been super interested in it. I told you at the beginning of this program that we're going to be talking about matters of energy and mindset as well as strategy, and this fits right into that. So without any further ado, let me just say hello and welcome Anne to the program.
Hello, hello, Wendy. Thank you so much for having me. So hello. Happy to be here.
Thank you. I'm so glad you have the time to be with us today. Let's get started by telling everybody where you are, who you are, and what the heck you do.
Sure. Well, I'm really, really honored to be on your podcast, Wendy. And I love the fact that one of the things we both share is a healthcare background, because I come into this world of holistic entrepreneurship, bringing 24 years of nursing experience and 15 years of entrepreneurship. And in 2007, that was when I first got my Akashic Records training. I had been working as a nurse, and I just knew that wasn't my end-all goal. I could tell that I was starting to reach burnout about year five, year six. And that's when I started to look for other types of interests. And I got drawn into spirituality, alternative energy, and doing energy work. So the first body of work I actually learned was working with the angels. And working with the angels then led me to expanding my intuition. And I happened to go to this little herb store in Austin. And this is an herb store that sells loose herbs, all different kinds that you could make different teas and formularies and healing balms with, and just happened to look at their community board and saw a free class on the Akashic Records.
And now, had you heard
of the Akashic Records, and it caught me off guard because I couldn't stop looking at it. So that's when I started studying the Akashic Records, and then I got certified to read the Akashic Records in 2007. I started seeing clients that same year, and in 2016, I made that leap of faith to leave my career as a nurse and do Akashic Records reading for my full-time work. And it just continued to blossom and grow from there without doing any active marketing. Everything was just word of mouth referral. I went from doing one or two readings a month to having a fully booked out practice with 8 to 12 clients a week just doing readings.
Okay, so before we go any further with that, tell everybody, what is an Akashic record? What is an Akashic reading? What does this even mean? Because this will be a brand new word for a lot of people.
Wonderful. You know, for many, many people, they aren't familiar with the Akashic records, but what they are familiar with is the Book of Life. What they are familiar with is a computer. So what I would like people to think about when they hear the Akashic Records are two different things. Either it's sources, universal supercomputer, or it's your soul's book of life. Either way, it's exactly the same thing, because what's happening is the Akashic Records is a recording tool. So it's actually recording every aspect of human existence on Earth. It records every soul's thoughts, feelings, experience, opportunities, relationships, and potential outcomes. So even for any decision or choice one person makes, there are anywhere between 3 to 5 to innumerable number of potential outcomes around a single choice. And when a person chooses that one outcome, it allows the rest of those potential outcomes to shift and drift away in the Akashic Records. And it collects within this person's soul's timeline the decisions they make and the experiences afterward. So really what the Akashic Records are is like tapping into Source's data bank and accessing your file to get information about you, your current life, any past life experiences that may have contributed to this current incarnation, as well as your future potentials. And what I found that's been really, really phenomenal, magical, and very special about the Akashic Records is that you're really working with Source Field. And it's giving you an insight on what you're here to accomplish in the time you have, because you are an aspect of Source having this human experience. Mm. So what you get to experience actually goes into this data bank of the supercomputer. So it gives Source, this big field, this big force, an insight into one out of thousands, out of millions soul experiences. And by looking at these millions of soul experiences, you're able to extrapolate certain themes, certain challenges, certain obstacles that the human construct deals with. And it's as if as one person works on one thing, it can effectively ripple out into the collective consciousness when more people start to also do those healing works too.
Okay. You just said a whole lot of stuff that I think a lot of people are going to be going, what?
I sure did. So think about it as your data bank. Your personal data
bank. Yeah, so when you're saying source, mm-hmm. God, spirit, creator, right? Whatever language, whatever term, whatever works for you. And I heard you say you can think of it as, if you don't want to just think of it, just I'm going to say just energetically, like it is this mm-hmm. sort of universal record of everything that we all have experienced, thought, created throughout history, throughout lifetimes.
Absolutely.
Not just one life. Or if that's a little too weird, not if that's too weird, the other way would be the other way. You can think of it as your soul's history,
exactly.
Your consciousness history, right?
Right.
Okay.
Our world now seems to get it when you say, oh, this is like a supercomputer. You can access data from any points of origin if you have access to it in your file.
That's really interesting. I have not heard that metaphor before, that way of thinking about it. That's a really interesting way of describing it. So you could think energetically and or spiritually that there is this sort of universal data bank that has everything that's ever happened in it, essentially, and that the Akashic Records is the particular record of your personal experience and what's happened, right? And then you were moving into the collective consciousness, was a whole nother world there.
Absolutely.
So, okay. Have you always been interested in this kind of thing? Was this like, this is not the kind of thing that, like, not where I live in East Tennessee, that people talk about or experience all the time. How did you, like, when you went to the herb store, when you were beginning to look for, you said I was working with the angels. Like, was that something that you have always been open to? Okay, because you're a nurse. You were an RN, right?
Yeah. And I grew up in a very conservative family where people in my family, they either grow up to become doctors or nurses or engineers.
Oh.
So there's nobody else in my family that does this type of healing work. And they really honestly think I'm weird. They don't really understand it. And they're confused that I make great money. And when I tell them I made I make better money than I ever did as a nurse. That's the part where they just can't wrap their heads around. And it's because it's coming from an agreement of service.
Okay, what do you mean by that?
So I made an agreement. I made a pact with the Akashic Records before I even came to this plane, before I even came to Earth, that one day, somewhere in my soul's journey, I would be triggered by seeing a piece of paper at a store around an Akashic Records discussion, a talk. That was all it was. It was just a discussion on what it was. And that was what awakened me to go do the research, sign up for the reading, get a reading, and then decide, I want to do this. And when I said I wanted to do this, I didn't want to do it as a business. I just wanted to know more about it. And so growing up, I think everybody has intuition. And I definitely believe that everybody has some level of psychic senses, even if they don't want to admit that, oh, I see colors, or I have dreams, or I feel things, or when I go into a room, this thing happens and I feel this. We all have these extrasensory abilities for a reason. And getting into the Akashic Records, learning that work, learning to work with the angels was what really started to trigger my intuition. And I thought I was going to go get my master's in nursing. I thought I was going to get my, you know, work as a nurse practitioner. And this totally shifted that path to a different place, because I realized that I actually enjoyed the holistic entrepreneurship community over the nursing community, because I was doing these different programs to get nurses to get engaged, to do things out of the nursing field. And it was like herding cats.
Well, so I'm interested in this from two different perspectives. One is the concept of Akashic Records, and how they can help an individual, what it means to understand it, to access it, and how that can help you as a human being. And then, of course, I'm also interested in like what it's like for you to run a business around this, because that is, talk about healing arts, that's a whole different kind of healing arts. So I think, to keep things clear, I'm going to come back to the business aspect of it in a minute. Let's focus for now on what this, the concept, because for people who are involved in healing arts, you know, we all have a technique, a method, a practice, a way that we deliver our particular brand of service, our particular type of healing, whether it's psychotherapy or energy healing or yoga or whatever. I love the hearing that you come from a background of science, yes. Doctors, nurses, engineers, which means I hear a lot of left brain folks. And I'm thinking, and you were, if I remember right, you had a fairly extensive medical history, medical career. Mm-hmm. You were working in a hospital setting, right?
I was working in a hospital setting. I was working PRN as needed in the float pool. And for whatever reason, they were like, well, you little thing, you're smart. We'll put you in all the ICU places. We're going to put you in the cardiovascular recovery units. You're going to be running ER departments for overflows. So I got a really beefy training. But I got to tell you, Wendy, if there was one thing that really helped my career as a nurse, it was my intuition. Plugged into my patients, and I would get a sense that something was starting to shift. So oftentimes I would cut off a potential code before it happened. I would be able to sense that there was a change, and I could call the physician, get the right medicines or the right procedure so that I could change the outcome from potentially being really, really bad for this person to, okay, we circumvented a potential disaster. And I didn't realize that that was actually what was going to pull me out of nursing.
So even as a nurse, as a medical professional in the mainstream medical world, you were already, I'm going to say sort of unconsciously or without even really thinking about it, just tuning into and listening to your gut, right? Your intuition, your hunch, your sense about things. And it was serving you well as a professional. And then somewhere along the way, it sounds like you really dove into that and began to tune into that more consciously and actively.
Absolutely.
Okay.
It was really developing a muscle. That's what I would call it. I was developing the muscle to be able to access the Akashic Records and really trust on what my intuition was showing me over my regular thoughts. Hmm. And that's the part where I think a lot of people get held back, because they often can't tell the difference between their thoughts pushing them and what's intuitive or channeled messages coming from their guides and source, because our society doesn't always give credit to the credibility of our intuition.
So that begs the question, how do you tell the difference between when I'm just having a thought about a situation or a client or my what I should do in my business versus sure. when I am being led, guided by something higher than me or something grand, however
Absolutely.
You want to use that?
There are three things that I want to share about this when you're trying to really discern between your thoughts versus what's coming as inspired intuitive guidance. And oftentimes when it's your thoughts and an idea comes through or a message comes through, you immediately jump into analysis of it. And that's you deciding, am I going to take action on this? The difference between that versus an intuitive inspired thought is when it shows up, there's a little bit of a space between before and after, and it almost hangs with a different resonant frequency or tone than your own thoughts. Another thing I find is that intuitive inspired messages tend to be repetitive, and they'll be repetitive. Like they show up to me in cycles of three. And that gives me an insight. Oh, you're showing up to me three times versus this thought is just coming and immediately changing. And it's like a squirrel that's jumping from one nut to one nut to one nut to one nut versus the inspired thoughts keep coming back and they expand upon a particular theme or sentence. So I'm getting a little bit more details. And the third way is I started asking in the very, very beginning, well, is this coming from me? Or is this coming from source? Now, if it's coming from me, and then I just relax. Okay, it's just me. I'm just thinking. But wait, if this is coming from source, I want to be able to write it down. And that's when I started to realize, when I started to track the difference between my thoughts versus inspired intuitive messages, when I tracked it and I started to write it down, it was as if I was really attending to the difference, and it made that different voice, that different energy start to sound louder. It started to give me a feeling. It started to give me proof that this is different from just your frenzied thoughts.
Wow. So I'm guessing that there was a lot of practice here in terms of learning to focus and really, really pay attention to your internal state.
Absolutely.
True. Yeah.
Absolutely. I learned things along the way, developing my practice and then eventually teaching of ways that I could evolve myself to be a reader, ways I could evolve myself as a healer and a practitioner, and even ways I could evolve myself as a business owner, because I kept going back to the Akashic Records to ask, what can I do to improve? What can I do to get better? What can I do to hear you, receive your messages, and get it in a way where I don't doubt that it's coming from you? That part took about 5 years to really, really hone in and develop. And it was because I was the one that stalled the process. I was the one that would come in and doubt it, or I would feel like, oh, I need to do something else more important. And so my record keepers never forced, they never pushed, and they never made me feel bad if I didn't initiate an action that they suggested. They would just fade to the background, and then they'd come back to the foreground again when it was time and relevant for them for me to receive something from them.
So record keepers, that makes me think of, I wanted to ask you, like, so when you first discovered this concept or this idea, which was new to you, you said when you saw that thing in the cup, I've already forgotten if you said this to me.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit before we got on the recording. So I'm thinking, were we talking about this before we started or now? But you were saying that you went to a coffee shop the herb store. That's right. That was during the recording. And that you saw this notice about this free class about Akashic Records. When you saw that, did you go to the class? Did you get a reading? Did you immediately start diving into what this means and how to do it? Well, I'm curious about that, what your experience was.
There were a few things that happened. When I saw that, my first question was, what is that?
Yeah.
That was my first question. What is that? Yeah. And it was, my eyes got big. I got all childlike. And that's when I started to do a little bit of research. And that's when I got led to go to the class. And then from the class, I decided to sign up for a reading. And I went into this reading completely green, completely fresh. I hadn't really received a lot of readings or even energy work from people. I only maybe gotten maybe about 3 or 4. So I was really brand new to this world. And I got a reading. And what was really interesting about this reading is that it was part of a puzzle piece. My husband at that time had the other part of a puzzle piece. And he received that puzzle piece when he was 15 years old. And his parents had seen a shaman who had given them an energetic reading about their past life. And then when I got this Akashic Record reading, I got my side of the story of that past life. And it actually explained why I was so angry with this person, why we had such challenging dynamics, and why our relationship just wasn't set up for the long run. It was never set up for the long run, because it kept showing in the Akashic Records, we'd have these short times of starting, ending, starting, and ending. And it was always based around something that we did together. And in each of those lifetimes, that something that we did together usually had something to do with bringing a child down. And as soon as that was done, we were done. So when I got that part of the puzzle, and nobody else knew that story but him and me, when I got that part of the puzzle, I was like, whoa, this is really weird.
I would think that'd be pretty mind-blowing.
It was super mind-blowing. I didn't even know how to process it, Wendy. I kind of sat there for like weeks going, is this really true? Right. How could they know this thing when nobody else even knows about this thing, the storyline? And it was as if I woke up. I woke up. And I started to hear the record keepers calling me back. And when I got my training, the first messages I got from the record keepers was, we're so glad you've returned. Here is the body of work that we are ready to work with you for you to accomplish, bring out into the world. And when I saw it, I was so intimidated. I was like, you want me to do what? Oh my gosh. I don't know if I've got that in me to do all that, guys. And now here, 15 years later, I'm looking and I'm realizing I've accomplished half of what they've shown me so far.
So this started, you said that you were working in the medical profession and you were burning out and you knew there had to be something more. You were restless, tired, sort of looking for something. And through a series of events that I'm going to guess you would say are not an accident, that you found your way to this whole new world. And I'm going to say, for those who are listening, if you've ever tuned into a tarot reader or been to an energy healer or had acupuncture or anything along these lines, some of this will be familiar, even though it's in a different vein. But if you've never done anything like that before, then this might sound pretty crazy. And like, what is she talking about? So I just want to acknowledge that for anybody who's listening to this and kind of going, I don't know what I just tuned into, but but I personally, I used to send somebody to an energy healer that I had heard good things about for a long time. And I had never gone to her myself. I just kept sending clients to her. And then I myself had a medical crisis several years ago. And I came out of that going, I don't have time to be sick. I've got a business to run. I don't have time for this. And I was going to do whatever I had to do to be okay. So I started going to her. And she is to this day one of my dearest friends. And I love her. And the work is so amazing to me, how all this stuff works. But the older I get, the more I appreciate the role of energy in literally everything we do, like everything. And I think in terms of our success, our ability not only to attract, but to welcome abundance, to receive the gifts that come our way, the role of energy in how we serve our clients and how we stay healthy while we're serving our clients. So I love that you have really gone through this huge pivot from a very, I don't know any other way to talk about it, the very left brain sort of, you know, what I can see, hear, taste, touch, and smell way of working, to a very intuitive way of working that is connected to something higher, bigger, grander, older. I love that.
I want to add, Wendy,
yeah,
that thing that you just said, you came from a left brain, which is very tied to see, hear, touch, and taste, to more of this right brain, which is more intuitive. And what I want to share with you is that those senses, those see, touch, taste, those are even more expanded. So the basic senses that we are comfortable with using, there is an even more expanded aspect of that.
Okay. Say more about that.
And that's where the Akashic Records comes in to show us how to be a bridge using those senses as a way to define what's appearing. So when I'm teaching people to deliver information, it is really using those words, I see, I hear, I taste, I touch, I feel, because that is really the relatable bridge for humans to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start to talk beyond that, it actually isolates people. And the reason why I'm so passionate about the Akashic Records is because it's a tool. That's all it is. It is a tool that has provided for us to be able to access this greater library of spirit. And everything that appears on Earth now, everything that has always appeared, any inventions, books, music, works of art, even strategies that show up in military conquests, political strategies, these come from the Akashic Records. They're pulling this from a place where that information is already collected. They receive it through these senses of their thoughts, and then they make the decisions that they need to on Earth to then experience that idea.
So can you tell me more about how connecting with the Akashic Records has helped you personally or guided you personally? How this has impacted your life or your work?
Absolutely. Well, I honestly, on a personal level, it has helped me to really get in touch with my emotions, my joy, and my sense of purpose. I knew when I started my career as a nurse, I didn't want to do that forever. I knew that in the very first year. And so I prayed to have some kind of an answer take me out of nursing. It took 18 years for me to get out of nursing. But what happened was between that phase, the Akashic Records were training me to become a very good reader, to become really good at being able to communicate with people. And I learned that in my nursing career. I learned how to manage stressful situations. I learned how to manage people's expectations. And I learned how to communicate things to them in a way where they were able to receive that.
Yeah.
I took that training and set up my Akashic Records practice. And I run my practice much like a clinic. Very few people do it this way because they're a bit more on the creative right brain side. So I was really using the left brain and the right brain to create a practice.
Love
personally,
it.
The Akashic Records have helped me understand why relationships are the way they are. And it's the most healing aspect, because when you understand the dynamics of relationships, then you don't spend time trying to figure out why you're doing something wrong. If you just realize, well, dynamically, this relationship is here to teach you this, then you get what information you need, you get the lesson, and then you gently move forward. So it's helped me to also be more neutral in how I look at the world. When things happen, whether it's politically, economically, even with the health crisis, instead of looking at it and freaking out, what the record keepers will say to me instead is, look at the human history. Plagues, pandemics have always been an aspect of the human construct and actually happens anywhere between every 400 to 800 years. Or what's happening with this particular storyline tied to, say, the economics, this has happened before. Here are three different examples of what you can pick from that will kind of guide where this current scenario may go. If anything, we repeat these cycles of time. So what the record keepers are saying about this time right now is we're in the modern renaissance. So the things that we create here in this time will even reflect aspects of the previous renaissance that was happening. And really, most importantly, I think personally, what the record keepers, what the Akashic Records have helped me to do is to appreciate my time on earth. It's really making me value the decisions I make, the relationships I have. It's making me value the time I spend doing certain things. And it helps me to laser focus on the things I want more of, whether it's more joy, more play, more fun. It's those little things that makes life worth it. So doing the work and having that balance of play is where I got that message from the Akashic Records when they said, if you want to do this, you cannot do this the way Edgar Cayce did. I was like, whoa, what is that way? And they said, morning to night, 12 to 14 hours of nonstop readings, 5 to 6 days a week. And I was like, oh, that just sounds like my nursing career. I definitely don't want to do that.
So what I'm hearing is that it helped you, that learning about this, accessing this energy and this knowledge, this connection has helped you understand things better, be less reactive, not personalize things, understand sort of the big picture of how things are happening in the big picture. So I'm going to guess less fear, more confidence, more ease.
Absolutely.
True? Okay.
If anything, it's also like supercharged my creativity. I never realized I would write books. I never realized I would write music or, you know, create works of art. Those all came from the Akashic Records. And the way they would show it to me is, this is a project that's already done. You're going to channel the completed version and you're going to utilize the current platform available to you to bring it out to the world. So instead of feeling like, oh, I got to start from scratch, I got to create this framework, I got to do, and absolutely, when you're writing a book or when you're doing any kind of creative process, you absolutely want to create some kind of a framework, but trying to fill the gaps in between is so much easier when you can access the Akashic Records and they tell you what is the elements needed for this project to get to completion.
So this is helping you as you're growing your business as well, right?
It's helping, my goodness.
Right. Yeah. Helping you personally and helping you as a business owner. What would you say? So what is a reading actually like? What happens? Because is it like being in trance work? Is it like, I have no idea. I've never done it. So like, what is it even?
I appreciate this question so much. And I think that you being, having the background of a therapist will understand this aspect because there are elements of a reading that can have a therapeutic setting. So when I have a reading with people, I have my systems set up. And the reason why I even bring up systems is that is where I see 85 to 90% of Akashic Record readers drop the ball. They just do. And so coming from this background, I know how important it is to set people into a place of trust, comfort, and safety right away. We have like 5 or 10 minutes in the very beginning of our session to discuss things. And I'm really getting people ready for what they're going to experience. And what they're going to experience is essentially a conversation. I don't go into a trance. Some people will have told me in readings that my voice shifts because when I get into the energy of the channel, it has a bit of a different energy and even a different tonality than my own voice. Mm. And when I access the energy of the channel, who is now the one that's receiving information from the Akashic Records, this channel delivers information and speaks in a way that's slightly different from how I even speak. It'll use words that I would never use, or it would say things in a grouping of sentences that I would never use in normal conversation. So in the beginning of a session, I always explain to people what they'll experience during the reading. And I use the senses. You may see words, you may feel sensations, you may hear messages. You may also feel discomfort, light. And there have been moments where before I even start a session with someone, they're already emotional. They start tearing up. And I'm not even sure why they're crying. All I know is it got really hot in the room all of a sudden.
Now, do you know something about people before you talk with them?
Never. I just don't even have that time. I prefer to come with a clean blank slate where I don't know anything about you, your background, because then it keeps the bias to zero. And it helps me to be impartial and to really pay attention to what's showing up. So in this conversation that people are having with the record keepers and guides, we take you into the place of the Sacred Heart space. And the Sacred Heart space is essentially the center of your heart. we have this conversation there because I've found this is the safest and most protected place. And when you create that bridge of trust with people, you're really taking them into a place where they're going to ask very vulnerable questions. And you want them to feel like no matter what they ask, it's a judgment-free zone, which is one of the reasons why as soon as the record keepers start to deliver information, what I've noticed is that it's usually very positive, it's usually very affirming, and it's neutral. When people make decisions, the record keepers never say things like, oh, that was a bad decision, or how could you do this to yourself? That never even comes out. All they do is they come from a place of support to try to show that person what's coming up, sometimes a few hours to a few days to a few weeks to a few months in their timeline, because their timeline is subject to change all the time because people are making decisions. So when we get into the Akashic Records, we're looking at one particular timeline of a soul, and their soul, the soul will have that soul timeline that goes from beginning to end of this incarnation, but they make these branches, they make these deviations because of the decisions they make. So we'll sit there to look at these different deviations, these different branches, to understand what are all the factors influencing their decisions? What are the potential outcomes that can happen? What are the potential obstacles that are in their way? What are the potential challenges that they'll have to face and even have to deal with as they make a decision? Because what happens in these sessions is the record keepers support them with data. Here's all these different things, but they never tell a person what decision to make.
I was just going to ask you, is this a directive thing? Okay.
Absolutely not. They will if a question is like this. Can you give me some suggestions? For example, here's a very common question. Can you give me some suggestions for a morning routine that would help me feel stable throughout my day? And this is where I'll hear the record keepers actually say things like, you know, we want you to wake up a little early. We want you to give yourself a little time for silence, a little time for meditation, a little time for prayer, a little time for journaling, a little time for stretching. Not super, it's when you hear it, you're like, well, that kind of sounds like common sense.
I was going to say, yeah.
Right?
I was going to say.
But these people know this, but they're asking because what they're looking for is a higher guidance that says, if you wake up in the morning and you say you're going to have a good day, you're going to stretch, you're going to write your intentions for a good day, and you're going to actually, you know, do a little bit of meditation, and they realize, well, I followed their suggestion, and guess what? I had a great day today. I needed that guidance. So what I find is that when people are in this vulnerable place, they're so overwhelmed by everything happening in their life that even just constructing a simple morning routine escapes them. But when the record keepers say, we see you doing A, B, C, D, and it makes an impact in your day that's positive and you feel good and you have extra energy, it sets the tone for people to believe that that's the outcome that they can have, that they're willing to try it. They're willing to choose for themselves to see what that happens, which is why unless someone asks for those suggestions or directives, the record keepers just provide as much general as well as descriptive suggestions and supports and information so that way it really, A, supports your intuition, B, makes you realize, oh, these are the thoughts I have been thinking, and C, it gives you the confidence to decide and choose moving forward.
What I was going to ask you, what are the kind of, what would you say are some of the more typical questions that people ask or reasons why someone would want to get an Akashic reading done? Why would somebody even think about doing this?
Absolutely. Yeah. The most common question, Wendy, I get asked almost on every single reading is, what's my soul's purpose? This is so important to people because they all recognize I have a short time on earth. I'm already doing whatever it is I'm doing. Am I really on track? Am I really doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Because I don't want to waste my time. So that's the first question that I get. Okay. The second question that I get is usually, what is blocking me from blank? Love, money, health, success? That's the second question. What's blocking me from blank?
Okay.
And then the third question is, what am I here to resolve, achieve, and accomplish in this life? And these three questions are so pivotal because most people don't even realize that they have been getting answers for these questions. They just needed the record keepers to support them so they would have the confidence to follow through on their path.
So that's interesting. So would it be, and those three questions do strike me as fairly universal. I think I can see how almost anybody could use those. And to turn to an Akashic reader, I would think it would be a pretty big question you'd want to have answered. So that kind of makes sense to me. But what was it you just said? Because there was something I was going to do with that. What did you just say? There was something there that was important I wanted to catch.
Was it the question, what am I here to heal, achieve, and resolve in this life?
You said, thank you. You said that they often will say they've been getting those answers, but don't know it or see it or recognize it, right?
This is the most powerful part of the Akashic Record reading when I do with somebody is at the very end when we have a short discussion. My question that I ask everyone is, does this information resonate with you? I'm not even asking, is this information accurate? Are you going to do anything? I'm just asking, do you feel like they're talking about you? And what I often get 7 out of 10 times is, these are the things I've been thinking about. These are the things I've been feeling about, but I just wasn't sure.
Interesting. I've often said to people, I feel like this is like not even in the same ballpark, but it's the closest way I can relate to this. I often feel like as a coach that, or even as a psychotherapist, that often I say, I feel like my job is just to give you permission to do what you already want to do.
Absolutely.
You know, that people already come to me sort of knowing what they want to do. They just need someone to say it's okay. And that's kind of how I'm hearing this in a way, is that people are already have an intuitive sense of what is right or best for them, or why they're here, or what they're supposed to do, or whatever, but they can't hear it or won't receive it, or are resistant to it, or are afraid of it, or whatever is getting in the way. And that this process confirms often for people what they already knew.
Exactly. And it also gives them permission for the change.
Yeah.
Many people hold back from the change. Hmm. And when I would get readings, when I would get Akashic Record readings before I left to do this work, the message they would keep telling me when I would go to see other readers were, you're ready. You're ready. Hmm. You're ready. And I was like, no, I'm not. I need more people. I need more people. And they'd be like, no, don't you see, Anne? When we say you're ready, we mean you're ready.
You were launching your practice as a reader?
When I was just starting my practice and I was still working as a nurse, they would just tell me, you're ready. You just need to believe we'll bring it to you. But you're not confident that we will. So you keep doing all these other things and it's just wasting your time. But you'll get it. You'll figure it out. They were always so kind. You'll figure it out. You'll figure it out. And then when I finally figured out, I heard this like sigh of relief in the Akashic Records. And I saw in capital words, finally, capital F-I-N-A-L-L-Y with exclamation points. And I was like, oh, you guys have been waiting.
You told me a good story about this right before we got online, I think, about this, about your exit strategy. You want to repeat that? That was a really good story.
Yeah. And I think that there's a lot of people in the healthcare field that feel this energy of wanting to have an exit strategy from their career, but gosh dang it, they worked so hard to even get in that field anyway. And now that they're in that field, they're like, I just got to do this.
Yeah.
So when I was working as a nurse, I had gotten to my 17th, 18th year. I was working in outpatient surgery. And this was a place where a lot of the experienced nurses would say, oh, nurses go there to, quote, die, end quote. You're like, it was such cushy work. It was so easy. It was so lovely. And I felt like when I arrived to this department, I was like, oh, I like this. It's easy. It's fun. There's no pressure.
You're not on call. There's no midnight.
I'm not on call. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then a year later, this hospital system was looking at the numbers and they realized, well, this little tiny department, this outpatient department, was actually number 3 nationally. And they were like, what in the world are you guys doing that makes your patients give such high, you know, satisfaction scores? And what it was is we were happy. We were happy. We were this little tiny, you know, almost invisible department. And there was such a good synergy there. Well, then over a year, they started to bring more of the higher ups, the executives, they started putting all these constrictions, and this, what once was a really peaceful job, didn't stay peaceful.
Because they were coming to see what you all were doing? Is that what
exactly
they were doing? Mm.
And they didn't realize that at the core of it, it was happy people serving, great service. And when you take the happy people away, the service changes. Mm. And so what happened was I was finding myself on a schedule, having to wake up at 4:30 in the morning to have to get to work at 5:30. And I was just like, I didn't sign up for this. And meanwhile, in the background, my practice is slowly growing. My practice is slowly growing. My practice is slowly growing. There was a new nurse who came to my department. She was this young, adorable, super perky nurse, and she was an entrepreneur. She wanted to have her own business. So when she discovered I had a business, we just gravitated to each other, and we were like really bigging each other up and encouraging each other. And this girl asked me before I was even ready, well, Anne, when are you going to leave? When are you going to leave? When are you going to leave? And I was like, well, I guess I will start my exit strategy. So my exit strategy started in October of 2015, or actually started in December of 2015. And every single week that I would see this young nurse, she'd be like, when are you leaving? When are you leaving? And honestly, I got to a point, Wendy, where I was just so stressed. And I was also stressed with her asking me that I literally had a breakdown. And I was like, okay, record keepers, I'm really desperate. I really don't like my job anymore. I'm breaking down in front of my family, and I don't know what to do. So I need you to show me a miracle, and show me a miracle in a way I cannot deny it. So I asked this
about
six
o'clock, making this decision to leave your job and go full time into your business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was like, show me a sign that I can't deny. So I asked this at 6 a.m. I go into my work. I'm all teary eyed. I'm a blubbering mess. I don't want to go into work looking like this, but unfortunately, I'm really having a breakdown. And I go into work, and at 8 o'clock, I got my first sign. And that sign was I got 2 Akashic Record sessions back to back. And I was like, oh, well, that's good. I mean, is that my sign? Because I'd already had readings coming in. So I wasn't sure that was my sign, but I said,
2 new clients had signed up for sessions.
2 brand new clients, mm-hmm. never heard of them before. And so then I was like, well, I'm not really sure. Can you give me another sign? So my next sign was I received an email from a job I had applied for 8 months previously. And it was that day that they sent me the email that said, we want to talk to you. We want to consider you for this job, and we'd like you to call us and set up an appointment to have an appointment for you to get interviewed
for an interview. Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, whoa, that's wild. That's really, really wild, because this happened 8 months ago. But is this really, really the sign, guys? So they gave me another sign, and this was another email where now this was somebody who was asking about the Akashic Record. They wanted to get some information around learning how to read for themselves. I wasn't even teaching yet. So that came through, and I was just like, well, I don't know if that's the sign, but I'm going to assume the second one was my sign. So I took that. I took what happened, and it all showed up within an hour and a half of each other. And by 11 o'clock that night, I was writing my resignation letter, and I sent it to my boss. And I sent it to him 2.5 months before the holidays hit. And his words were, really, Anne, you're going to quit before Thanksgiving and Christmas when we really are short staff? And I told him, I was like, I'm sorry, I just can't stay anymore. It's not healthy for me anymore. And so I left that job, and I honestly haven't looked back at all, Wendy. And I got to tell you something that I often don't say to people because they don't believe me, which is this. As a nurse, I chose to work PRN because it was the highest paid position, but there were certain things I went without, benefits such as health insurance and life insurance. Mm-hmm. But I was willing to do that to get the highest pay. And even at the highest pay, even with 18 years of experience, it was totally hand to mouth. It was check to check. It was paycheck to paycheck. And it was like, I'd be watching my bank account going down as I'm planning for the next 3 or 4 days before my next paycheck comes in, and I'd be really sweating it. But what I asked the record keepers when I told them I would leave was, just please help me. I really don't know a whole lot about doing business. I'm a science person here.
Let me recapture what you just said. You were in a job. You had found your way in the nursing world to a department and a job that actually was pretty great. It was all working. There were a lot of things about that position that were fine, and then it started to go bad. And as it became less fine, you began to be, which also strikes me as kind of not a coincidence in a way, like, because it was, this is kind of how I think sometimes. I had a mentor who said to me one time, oh, this is interesting. I had a mentor who said to me a long time ago, when I was running the family therapy department at a residential treatment center, she said, and I was trying to decide about whether to stay or go for lots of different reasons. And she said, all I know is that when it's time for you to make a change in your life and you don't do it, the world has a way of giving you a kick in the pants, which cracked me up at the time. And I have never forgotten, because Lord, she was right. But absolutely, if you want to apply that here, you in various ways were being called to something greater. And so the job began to be less fulfilling.
Satisfying. Right? And financially became really difficult. Mm. Because they would ask me to stay, Wendy. And I would look at my paycheck. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm getting paid $30 an hour, which at that time was great. I'm getting paid $30 an hour, but I'm charging $150 for a session that takes an hour and a half to do.
Yeah, there's no comparison as far as that goes.
I was like, this doesn't even make sense to me.
But the thing that's striking to me is you said that it kind of came to a head, and there was a particular day where you were like fried and done, and you were the way you were working was like, I need to know this, and I need to know it where I cannot miss it. Yes. And that you got one person asking you, you got the email inviting you to an interview. You got two new clients who'd signed up for a session. And then you had a third person asking just about Akashic Records and training, which is interesting because I know you do training now. Yes. So in one day, in a matter of hours, you got all of these different little signposts kind of going, there's something else, there's something else, there's something else. Yeah. But did you go and apply for that job? Did you go for that job?
Oh my goodness. You want to know something funny, Wendy?
Yeah.
I did. I applied for that job. It's the only job I've never gotten. I have gotten every single nursing job I've ever applied for. And I've worked at different places and with the universities and the local colleges. But this one, which required me to work at home as a triage phone nurse, and I took a pay cut and I was going to work more, didn't hire me.
Hmm. Because that's not what you were meant to do. So you made the leap.
Yeah, I made
it. And have never, like you said, have never looked back. And now you have classes, training, you're still doing readings.
I am doing readings, and I started teaching in 2018, 2019. And my very, very first Akashic Records workshop, which was in Los Angeles, we sold out.
Oh, that's lovely.
And it was only for one class. And afterwards, I remember sitting on the beach with my husband the following day, and I was just like dumbfounded. I was like, I can't believe this just happened. I mean, somebody pitched me. People paid me to teach them stuff.
It's a whole new thing. It's a whole new world.
And I got to tell you, Wendy, I've been so grateful. Every time I work with somebody from the healthcare field, every time I have a nurse who's a client or a student, and they tell me, I want to do something else outside of nursing, I am their first champion. I am the first person to tell them, you can absolutely do this. This is what you were trained for. So go do it.
So one of the things I love about this whole story is that you were in a very good career. It's a kind of career that can carry somebody through their life. You can, you know, it's the wages are, the hours are long, the job is hard, but it's a meaningful job and an important one. And yet you wanted something more, and your whole thing about listening to your intuition and then following it where it took you, which I think often leads us to scary places, actually.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
And I'm wondering, like, to me, a lot of folks who are working in healing arts, they got into it for varying reasons, but we basically, most of us, I think, feel called to do something that's going to make a difference in some way. Right. I think the mistake we often make is feeling like we can only do it in one way, or only do it the way we were trained, or that just because I was on this path means I have to stay on this path forever. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the takeaways that I'm getting from this that I actually hadn't expected, but it strikes me as important, is that we get rumblings. We have a sense inside that there's something different, something more, something out of the norm, something just, I don't know, down the, off to the left instead of off to the right, whatever it is. But we have, mm-hmm. when something just isn't feeling right anymore that used to feel right. And I can relate to that too. There was a time back when I had that job in that RTC where my office, when I was running this department, my office was in a log cabin in the woods.
Wow.
In a beautiful, beautiful place. And we were doing wilderness-based work with kids, which for me is I love that. I love
Sounds
experiential
amazing.
Work. Mm-hmm. It was a pretty amazing place. At the time, I was making more money than I ever thought I would make as a social worker. I look back on mm-hmm. it now and I laugh. But,
right.
but at the time, it felt like a lot of money. So I was making good money in a beautiful office, in a beautiful setting, doing really important work. And I was miserable, absolutely yeah. miserable. And could not imagine what else could ever be. Like when we reach a point where we are no longer works, we cannot imagine what the future could be.
Yep.
What is even possible? We just know this is no good. I can't imagine what that could possibly be. And that's when that mentor said that to me. And I think we go through lots of these transitions in our life. And I love that you listened to that and that it has taken to you to this beautiful, magical place. And I'm thinking, besides the kind of obvious lessons of this that I think we can all learn from, which is to listen to your intuition and don't be afraid to follow it. But also, I really do think it sounds like tuning into getting a reading and tapping into your Akashic records helps you understand so much more about your life as a whole. So how would this help a practice owner to get a reading, to come work with you or to take a class from you or to just learn about this concept a little bit more? How would, if I'm a massage therapist, and I kind of want to be in a better place. How could this help me? What would I do? What should I do?
Wow, what a great question! And I love that you brought massage as a type of a service. And I'm going to actually break it down to massages, coaches, and people that are from the world of Western medicine.
Mm.
And there's a reason why, because these three groups would work with the Akashic records slightly differently. And a reading would look the same. You know, you schedule your session, you get your pre-session information that gives you an insight on how to structure your questions. By the time we come into the session, now I'm getting you ready for how the record keepers will communicate directly to you, utilizing words. As a massage therapist, where I see the Akashic records are really helpful and what they would provide in our reading is guidance on other therapies they could provide, ways that they could nurture themselves, ways that they could nurture their client relationships.
Mm.
If it was a massage therapist who wanted more clients, the record keepers could give this person suggestions to expand their visibility, ways that they could use content as a reach out tool. Another way that I would see the record keepers working with a massage therapist is also giving them support if they are looking to expand their training and where that interest would be. Would it be better as energy? Would it be for more massage? Would it be in a completely different area? And by testing those questions to say, would it be a more beneficial use of my time to say, learn hot stones or to do something tied to waxing or to also try like shiatsu, the record keepers can actually give this person an insight of which is the best use of their time, their money, and the best outcome from it. For people in the coaching world, and I've had many clients who are coaches, what I've found is that the Akashic records are really helpful for them when they're trying to make transitional leaps. Let's say if you're a coach, but you're still working in a corporate job, the record keepers will give them insight into the timeline. Where are you in that timeline? Where do we see you leaving? What are the actions that will help you get to the point where you will be ready to make that leap? Here are some suggestions that can help the clients that you work with. And here are some other tools that you could bring into your coaching practice that could help you have a much more well-rounded skill set.
Oh, that's super cool.
For people that are specifically in Western medicine or even Eastern medicine who are just in the holistic healing field, and when I say holistic healing field, I'm really talking about nurses, therapists, doctors, people who have been in Western medicine, and much like me, they're suffering from burnout. Mm-hmm. And when that appears, I find that those sessions are really helpful to help these people understand, one, if they want to stay in the field, or two, if it's time for a pivot. They're often very conflicted. You know, they love what they do, but they're burnt out on what they do. So they're not sure what they need to do because they need the money. So what the record keepers do is they give an expanded viewpoint of why it's beneficial to stay. What are the signs that'll give you that they can give you that it's time to leave? And then also, what are some suggestions that will help you be at peace with the work you're in? They'll also show people in this Western field, if they're ready to leave that field, what are different areas that they could head into? What are some different interests that they can consider expanding or strengthening? And oftentimes, those expanded interests are already something people are doing. So when they ask those questions, it's like, well, would it be for my highest and best good to go into real estate? Yes or no? Or would it be my highest and best good to get my master's degree? Yes or no? Or would it be my highest and best good to leave this career and start my own business? What happens from there? So this type of questioning, these are the kind of questions that I brought to the Akashic Records when I was in this place where I was ready to leave. I asked for the signs to let me know that the times were ready. I asked for what steps I would need to initiate to be able to leave. I even asked them, show me the words I need to write in my resignation letter so when my boss receives it, he's not really mad.
I love that. I gotta tell you, Wendy,
yeah. When I left, they kept my badge in the department for 8 months, even after I left.
Oh, just in case you came back.
In case I came back. They're always like, you bring the best energy. You're always giving us like when Mercury might be in retrograde, or, you know, you're bringing us crystals and things like that. And a lot of that was really connected to the messages I would get from the record keepers that would say, hey, this is going to be a hard week. Bring your happy, positive self.
You know what I love about that? Essentially, if I could sort of summarize all those beautiful examples you just gave of how someone could benefit from getting a reading, is that essentially it can help you be better at what you do. Like, so it can help me serve my clients better, show me ways that I can be a better healer. Or if I want to make a change, it can help me figure out what kind of change and how and when.
Exactly.
So that's awesome. That's super awesome. So I'm kind of winding my way through this. We're going to start bringing it to a close. If somebody was going to, I want to learn more about this, I want to get trained in this, or I just want to have a reading.
Yeah.
How do they find you, or how would they choose somebody if they were just searching on their own? How do they do that?
Well, I'm going to answer this kind of backwards because of the question that you asked. How would they choose whether to work with someone? And there are actually five factors that I look at whenever I schedule an Akashic Record reading with someone. And Wendy, I get a reading once or twice a year from people that I don't even know.
You yourself go get a reading.
Mm-hmm. I get a reading because one of the things that I study that I am so passionate about teaching in my courses is how to provide a stellar customer experience.
Love it.
See, this is just a tool, but the experience, whether it's Reiki or the Akashic Records or EFT, this is secondary to who you are as a practitioner and what you bring. Mm. So I look at the experience. Does this person who's offering to read have any experience? And what is their background? Also, what is their background when it comes to doing energy work? Do they have any kind of a health background? Do they have any kind of an educational background? I look and see whether there are testimonials, because mm-hmm. those testimonials are actually important to see the experience people have from other people. And I look at their systems. I look at whether or not someone makes me have to work to book with them, or whether or not their systems are in place that really makes them stand out as a professional, as somebody who's ready to serve, somebody who's got it together. And the reason why is that many holistic professionals often don't get the credit that they bring because they're come from a place where they're really regarded as flaky. People may not recognize their background and training as legitimate because it's not coming from an accredited university or program. Mm-hmm. Or there's the level of certification compared to, say, a nurse or a doctor does not match to the level of certification that somebody who might be a Reiki master. Mm-hmm. And a, you know, advanced practitioner channel, mm-hmm. even if they come with 25 plus years of experience, that's the reason why your systems really represent how professional you are and whether or not people take you seriously.
You know, I'm going to love that because I am a systems person. And
I know.
And I get tickled by that because I'm often preaching to people about that kind of thing, about your yes. life will be easier. But what you're saying, which I actually don't often say, is that the more professional you are, the better your systems run, the easier it is for people to find you, hire Absolutely. You, sign up for you. That actually adds to your credibility as a practitioner, which I don't think
Big
people
time.
Think about. That's right.
Big
yeah,
time.
So true.
And your online presence, that was the fifth factor. If you're online, if you even have an online presence, then what you're actually showing the world is I'm here to serve my group. I'm yeah. here to serve my assigned group, and I'm willing to do what it takes for them to know I'm here and available. So these yeah. are the five things that I encourage people to really consider when they're looking for a qualified reader. You know, I could tell people, go to Etsy. You're going to find a lot of different kinds of people at Etsy. Go to Facebook groups. You're going to find people there. Go to YouTube. Go to TikTok. But that doesn't really give you confidence versus when you get it from somebody who experienced a reading. So word of mouth is parallel to none, because this is really how I've grown my business without any marketing, all word of mouth. Because when you have those systems set up, when you have those testimonials, you've got the background, you create an experience, people really trust in you to come back to you.
Yeah.
And that's what I really try to teach the students. I honestly think learning the Akashic Records is easy. It's very easy. But training your mind to know the difference between thoughts and inspired messages, that takes time.
Yeah,
that
I would think
takes
it would.
Practice. Mm-hmm. And it's like anything that leads to mastery, right? You got to take that first step to reach that 10,000 step. I did a calculation recently, Wendy, and I realized I was like, oh, I'm like 5,000 steps in. Oh, ooh, we got a lot more to go, but you
well,
know, we're on the way.
It's so, a journey, right? Yeah,
absolutely. So with your question around how could people learn, work, or even get information about the Akashic Records, I have a free masterclass that actually shares with people the mistakes that they make in connecting to their intuition.
Okay.
And this is a great class that lets people know, oh, wait, oh, I do that. Oh, wait, I do that. Oh, I do that. And it shares even a little snippet of how can you really tell the difference between your thoughts and your channeled messages, as well as sharing a framework, a very simple three-step framework that helps you to connect, align, and deliver to the Akashic Records in a very systematic, clear, proven way, because this is what they created. I followed it and I'm like, oh my God, this works. People are showing me proof. Clients, students launch their practices. And that's really my dream, is to empower people to launch their own holistic practice, because we are part of the support crew on earth. And there's just not enough of us to help. So that's what we're here for.
I love that. And I think I would say that most, if not all, healers are by nature more intuitive anyway. And so mm-hmm. learning to fine-tune that ability, like you said, exercise that muscle, I think is really excellent. So where can they find out about your masterclass? Where do they get information about that? And okay. we'll be sure to put it in the show notes. But
yeah, well, they can definitely come to our free masterclass. It's kind of a long name, but it says Mars. I will send you the link. It's bodyenergyconnection.com/Mars webinar.
Mars webinar. Got it. Yeah. And I will be sure and put that in the link, that link in the show notes below, y'all, so you can go and find that. Awesome. That is great. I have to say, and this has been such a fascinating conversation. You have provided a ton of material in a really, really short time about a subject that I think is not always easy to talk about or easy to introduce to a new audience. And you said that you learned about communication in your medical background. And I can certainly see that because your skills are beautiful. And I love your own stories about how this has impacted your life. I love the ideas that you shared about how getting a reading could help somebody as a practitioner, much less learning how to add this to their own skill set of their own. That's just awesome. Is there anything else that we could talk all day, honestly. But I would love to hear, is there anything else that you feel like you'd like to share that would make this interview and this episode complete?
Yes. I want to share that one of the objections that I hear from people is that, reading the Akashic Records is only for gifted and talented people. Mm. And I actually want to clear that playing field because I disagree. I didn't know how to do this when I started. And it was my interest in it that helped me to learn and to practice. So think about the Akashic Records like any kind of sport. Okay. There are people that are naturally talented, but there are also people that say, I want to learn how to play basketball. And they sign up, they get the training, and then they practice. They start to play in sport teams. They start to play outside. And what they realize is, gosh, I may not be naturally talented, but I've gotten pretty darn good because I've practiced, I've learned from my mistakes, and I continue to apply myself. This is why I'm so passionate about the Akashic Records, because humanity is in a place right now where people are ready to use this information to help them grow, evolve, and really most of all, be happy on Earth, Wendy. Mm. I mean, we're here for such a short time. Why not enjoy it, right?
We're here for such a short time. Why not enjoy it?
Absolutely. I'm down with that.
There's a takeaway. I love that. Thank you, Anne, so much for being here. Thank you for answering all of my questions. And thank you for the light that you are shining in the world, because it is as you said, is much needed. And y'all, for those of you who are listening to this, I know that some of you will be like, oh, this is super cool. I love this. Some of you will be like, I don't know about this. Mm-hmm. All I invite you to do is have some curiosity. Just be curious. And I invite you to go check out Anne's website, look into her class, or just do your own research like she did into what this is all about. I live in the southeastern United States. I'm in the Bible Belt. I totally understand the culture that I come from. I think, you know, as my grandmother would have said, the Lord works in mysterious ways. So there's all kinds of ways that the universe works that we barely are beginning to understand. What have you got to lose by just considering the possibility that there is a higher wisdom here that you can access that can help you and help you help your clients? I think that's gorgeous. All right. With that, I will bring this to a close. Thank you, everyone, for being here. That's what we got for you today. Have a beautiful week, and I will see you next time. Bye now.